Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for being with us. Today we're going to talk with Joe Rutten, who is in transition, moving from St. Joseph Cathedral to Montmartre College. We're going to hear about his new opportunity, his new endeavor, and really the new endeavor of the college itself. So I hope you will stick around to hear about that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Emily Leadham with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the second book of Kings. One day, Elisha came to Shunem, where there was a woman of influence who urged him to dine with her. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he used to stop there to dine. So she said to her husband, "I know that Elisha is a holy man of God. Since he visits us often, let us arrange a little room on the roof and furnish it for him with a bed, table, chair, and lamp, so that when he comes to us, he can stay there." Sometime later, Elisha arrived and stayed in the room overnight. Later, Elisha asked, "Can something be done for her?" His servant Gehazi answered, "Yes. She has no son, and her husband is getting on in years." Elisha said, "Call her." When the woman had been called and stood at the door, Elisha promised, "This time next year, you will be fondling a baby son." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the 21st annual Bishop's Fishing Tournaments were held on June 5th at Big Stone Lake and on June 12th at West Whitlock State Park on Lake Oahe. Over $100,000 was raised to support seminary and education. Over 175 fishermen and 40 teams fished. Nearly 200 additional individuals attended the celebration of Mass and the evening social and barbecue that followed. You can read and see more about the Bishop's Fishing Tournaments in the July edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese soon and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, while on a mission trip at a community in Texas that gives permanent residence to the homeless, Arkansas State University student Claire Doss met a resident who touched her heart in a special way. The man, now in his 50s, was put on a bus at age 8 when his mother's fiancé gave her an ultimatum. It was him or the child. The young boy wandered the streets, was taken in and raised by a prostitute who helped him find his father at 15 years old. When he went to his father's house for shelter, he had a gun pointed at him. He had always lived on the streets until he found Christ and Community First Village in Austin. He was such a motivator, he'd say, "Keep going, you're all doing such awesome work. We love you all. Doss, who's 21, told the Arkansas Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Little Rock, "I thought, you know, he was crushed down by the world, kind of like Christ was, and he has so much joy all the time. I think it just helped me to look at life differently and the fact that the only place you're going to find joy is when you find Christ." The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, in its analysis of the Senate health care bill, said late this week the measure would leave 22 million more people without insurance. "This moment cannot pass without comment," said Bishop Frank J. DeWayne of Venice, Florida, chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development. Today, the Congressional Budget Office released a report on the discussion draft of the Senate health care proposal, indicating that millions of people could lose their health insurance over time, he said in a statement issued in response to the just-released analysis. As the USCCB has consistently said, the loss of affordable access for millions of people is simply unacceptable, the bishop said, noting he would continue to study the full CBO report. "There are real families who need and deserve health care," he added. "We pray that the Senate will work in an open and unified way to keep the good aspects of current health care proposals, to add missing elements where needed, and to not place our sisters and brothers who struggle every day into so great a peril on so basic a right." Sponsors of the Better Care Reconciliation Act were going to bring the bill to the Senate floor for a vote before July 4th, but late in the week, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican of Kentucky, announced any action on the bill would come later in the month of July. As El Salvador's first cardinal receives his red hat this weekend at the Vatican, he will keep the eyes of his flock at home, but also on the Washington area, home to approximately 260,000 Salvadorans, one of the largest communities of Salvadorans outside the Central American nation. Cardinal-designate Gregorio Rosa Chavez has been a pastor, not just inside El Salvador, said Capuchin Franciscan Father Moises Valahta. For years, he has frequently visited Salvadorans abroad, including many who were forced to flee their native country during its civil conflict in the late 1970s until the early 1990s, said Father Villata, a native of El Salvador and pastor of the Shrine of the Sacred Heart in Washington, D.C. He's tried to learn about the diaspora and even spent time teaching some expats and their children El Salvador's national popular spiritual hymn, which is an ode to Christ as Savior of the world. "He's come to the United States to listen, to strengthen our faith, to be a pastor and representative of the Salvadoran church for those of us who lived abroad. He has known how to guide us," said Father Valata. No one who attended the ordination of Bishop Thomas R. Zincula was alive the last time a bishop was ordained in and for the Diocese of Davenport, Iowa, more than 100 years ago. While Bishop Zincula is the ninth bishop of Davenport, he is the first to be ordained in the diocese since 1884. Previous bishops were ordained to the episcopacy in other dioceses. The new bishop's humility, humor, and expressed desire to be faithful to the people he will now serve was readily apparent during the historic ceremony, which was witnessed by 1,000 invited guests at St. John Vianney Church in Bettendorf, Iowa. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
You can only imagine how excited they were. The first time since 1884. Wow.
It's a long time.
Good for them. Good for them. Congratulations to their new bishop. Thanks for the news, Dean. Let's move on now to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Joe Rutten. And Joe, I don't know quite what title to use because as people are hearing this program, you've just transitioned from your work at Cathedral of St. Joseph to a new position. And that's what we want to talk about today. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, my new title will be the director of the Benedictine Leadership Institute. And Mount Marty has an endowed institute that they're looking to leaven, if you will, to kind of maximize and grow and use as a transformative agent within the whole college. They're really doing a lot. They're changing curriculum. They have a renewed vision. And so this institute will be focused on leadership, ethics, and social justice. And the entire curriculum, the entire student body will all go through this Benedictine way. This Benedictine Leadership Institute, and I'll be the director. I'll be faculty. I'll be teaching two classes a semester, and it's just going to be really, really exciting, Jerry. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that you just kind of summed it all up in a nutshell there, but we're not done.
It's a big nutshell.
That's only a minute into the program, uh-huh. So we got some time to flesh that out a little bit. When you use the term Benedictine, of course, we know that the Benedictine Sisters mm-hmm. are the sponsor of Mount Marty College, and that. You know, Bishop Martin Marty himself was Benedictine. Yeah. When we think about this diocese, the creation, the formation of this diocese, we can't help but think about Benedict and the influence of Benedict. It is Benedictine at its heart and core in so many ways, not that others haven't contributed mightily, but that Benedictine influence has been there the whole time. What's the goal at this point with that, as you see it?
Well, I think that we want to capture the heritage and the tradition of the Benedictine way, the foundation, the tradition, we want to honor what it is that particularly the sisters, the Benedictine mm-hmm. sisters that were brought here by Bishop Martin Marty, what they did in the prairie, what they did in the open plains of South Dakota is really remarkable. And so we want to honor that tradition, but yet we know that with each age comes the necessity of repackaging, if you will, the gospel, mm-hmm. new modes, new methods, and to represent that to the current age and to the current times. And so that's really what we're doing, Jerry, is we're just stopping and saying, all right, let's take a look at Mount Marty. Let's take a look at who it is or how it is that we want to present this gospel message in the 21st century. And they've decided that they want to lead with the Benedictine values, mm-hmm. that they want at the heart of who they are and what they do to be the Catholic faith and to be the Benedictine tradition upon which they are originally established. So there's a little bit of a looking back at who are we, and then a little bit of looking forward to saying, all right, what type of a student do we want to produce? Production's a hard word. What type of a student do we want to form? Do mm-hmm. we want to represent who we are? When they graduate and they leave this institution, what should they look like? And we want them to look like, if you will, the tradition of the Benedictine way. Because if you're not familiar, the Benedictine way is really the way of the common person. Saint Benedict didn't want this austere rule to govern the people. He wanted something that was very common and very basic, but it was built on moderation. It was built on balance. It was built on faith and work. So these principles of the Benedictine way lend themselves very, very readily to the formation of a secular living in the sense that sending kids out into the professional world, the Benedictine way is a great option mm-hmm. for us to consider in how it is that we want to form them so that we form them so that they live in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a pretty important note, if you will, for the world that we live in right now, and would be pretty inviting if I'm a student, if I'm looking for something that that I know is going to help me get to the next step of my life. That could be a real advantage.
And two things. First, at the number one priority has to be the salvation of souls. And so if we aren't if students aren't walking onto our campus and immediately and having an encounter of faith, maybe not even the coming from a Catholic tradition, but from a Christian tradition or an encounter with God, if that isn't first our priority, then we should just shut our doors, because that's really the heart of why we're open, is the formation of students for the salvation of their souls. But coupling that with the professional life, how is it that we send them out there to exercise this Christian vocation as laity in the world? And so that's the secondary point. And both of them ought to be done with excellence and magnanimity, this greatness of soul that we're called to be like. We're all called to be saints, right?
Right.
None of us get into heaven unless we're a saint. So we might as well get busy at that right now, right, Jerry?
just accept it and move ahead.
And so that's the great challenge, you know, this inspiration to be great. And we want to bring that and propose that to our students. If anything, Jerry, I think that our culture has really sold young people short. I think that we've settled. I think that as adults even maybe, we settled, and therefore it has been easier for us to look in the mirror if we just lower the bar for our prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to raise that bar once again, because kids are you know what? Kids really do rise to the challenge, and I'd love to have Mount Marty continue to be that place where kids come, they're challenged in their faith, they're challenged in their professional life, and we have an opportunity to form them in what I like to call virtuous professional life.
So this seems to me, Joe, and maybe we could just spend a moment talking about what you've been doing and how it leads into what you are going to do, because it seems to me this is almost for you a pretty natural progression. It fits with a lot of what you've been trying to do mm-hmm. in both the cathedral and then also through the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity.
You're exactly right, Jerry. It's funny. I always say that the Lord is constantly stringing the pearls of our life together. So you look at a pearl necklace and you got that string running through it. Well, it's like until we die, you know, the Lord's continuing to string those pearls, and then at our death, we get to present this wonderful, you know, stringed pearl to our Lord as a gift of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back, Jerry, everything that I've been formed in and the experiences I've had have really led me to this experience. And it's funny because I told Mount Marty no a number of times that I wasn't really interested. I didn't want to leave Sioux Falls. I didn't really know what was going on down there. I kind of liked what I was doing. And then at one point, it struck me like, why are you so opposed to this, right? and in some ways, this is the same thing that happened with O'Gorman. Like all of a sudden, I'm brought into O'Gorman. I did not expect to be there. Circumstances happened. And next thing you know, here I am teaching at O'Gorman. And so if I look at seminary for 4 years, I look at leaving seminary and going to O'Gorman to teach high school theology and ethics and campus ministry for 10 years, coming to the cathedral and building a robust programming for parish life, adults, and so forth at the cathedral for 7 years. It just was time. I kind of felt I was twiddling my thumbs just a little bit, and I was a little restless. And I looked down at Mount Marty, and I think, you know what? Maybe this is what the Lord's up to. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into the classroom most.
I bet you are. I know that's always been a passion of yours.
Yeah, and I taught your children, Jerry.
You did, and you did a great job. I think they all remember your classes well. I don't know that they all had a chance to have you, but most of them did.
Sometimes they snuck around me and they got Ms. Shields, but for the most part, I snagged most of them. But
and I know, I mean, you've seen the fruits of that work in those that you've worked with as young adults.
Yeah,
you've seen. I suspect you will see some of the fruit of what you've done here as you go into Mount Marty. I love that image of the string of pearls.
Yeah, I just really feel that there's every opportunity is something that is only possible because of the previous experiences that the Lord has given us. Mm-hmm. And I look at those as pearls. Like I loved what I did at O'Gorman.
Yeah.
I loved my time in the seminary. I loved the cathedral. And it isn't so much that I wanted to leave those opportunities as I felt the Lord was continuing to weave together this tapestry or to put together this magnificent work. That's my life, right? Yeah. I just want to do what he wishes. So.
We talk about that all the time, you know, in all different ways, this sense of discernment, the sense of listening to the Lord's call. And we talk about it often, of course, in the sense of vocation, but it's really important to acknowledge that that is true for every one of us, no matter what we're doing with our life, that the Lord continues to call us, sometimes in ways that we don't expect or ways that take us in a different direction. We just have to really be listening for that, don't we?
Yeah, certainly. And there's the challenge of being on the mountaintop where we're comfortable, and it can be challenging to remember that in the midst of this, that we ought to be grateful to God for the gifts and blessings that we've been given. And then there's also the valley. And when we're in the valley of darkness and the shadow of death, to remember the Lord's with us. He's there for us, and that even from the darkness can come light. And so those experiences, Jerry, are who we are as human people. And that's the reflection that the academic dean down at Mount Marty is really bringing to this new vision, and the president, Mark Long, bringing to this new vision for Mount Marty College. And what we want to offer to students is this idea that says, we're not just here to teach you to fill your brain with information, but we're here to help form you in a way of living that mm-hmm. understands that there's ups and downs, there's peaks and valleys. And so, Jerry, we're literally going to walk them through this. Check this out. We're going to have general education requirements for freshmen and sophomores, Benedictine Leadership 1 and Benedictine Leadership 2. The first course that all freshmen will have to take is going to focus on Benedictine values of who am I in relationship to my Creator, awareness of God,
mm-hmm.
and the valleys of life. And who am I, and how do I get through these valleys? And we're not just going to sit in a classroom. We're taking the entire freshman class to the Grand Canyon, and we're headed to the bottom. And we're going to retreat at the bottom of the Grand Canyon over President's Weekend with the entire freshman class as we consider who we are as human beings in relationship to the Creator. The sophomores at the same time will be packing their bags, and they're going to go do the mountaintop experience. They're headed down to the Smoky Mountains in Jackson, Tennessee, and they're going to go retreat down there, and they're going to think about who are they in relationship to each other as community, as relational beings. And that communal experience will be brought back to campus as juniors. Their curriculum will all be integrated. so that within their curriculum as teachers, nurses, business leaders, outdoor rec, whatever their department is, that they'll have a piece of integration that helps them to discover their vocation or their calling in professional life through that particular department and job profession that they seek out. And then they'll have a capstone experience. They're going to have to share with us what it is that they learned, who it is that they've become throughout that process of Benedictine formation as seniors with a capstone. It's going to be fantastic.
So something each year of their academic life at Mount Marty.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's going to be their experience. It isn't us dictating to them what they have to do per se, but the proof will be in the pudding. When these seniors graduate in 4 years and they come out with the first projects and we see what kind of experiences they've had and how they've manifested those into a capstone, if you will, mm-hmm. I think that we're going to find out that our young people are just absolutely waiting to explode on the world. We get very depressed when we talk about the culture oftentimes in church circles. Man, just hang out with some college kids for a while. There are great things going on.
Yeah. What about anything on the graduate level? Do you expect that might come down the road, if at all?
Yeah, I think that'll come down the road. I think that they have four primary projects down there as far as kind of a foundational look at their nursing program. They've got a real foundation project that they're continuing to complete there. They've got an arena, rec center, a facility that they're looking at. They've got the Benedictine Leadership Institute that mm-hmm. I'll be housed in mm-hmm. that they'll be looking at. And out of that particularly, I have a sense of interest with the business fraternity that I've worked with and a lot of the things I've done in the community with an integrated faith and business experience. I would like to see Mount Marty have a more robust business program where we actually have a Catholic business school, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't have to be Catholic per se in name, but the principles of our social teaching can certainly be present in business formation. And it just so happens that the director of entrepreneurship and business at Catholic University of America, the head of the Bush School of Economics, got wind of what we're up to last week. And we had a long conversation and he said, whatever you want, I'll help you with. So there's people out there that are very excited. We walked out of a meeting with one group of leaders telling them about Mount Marty and all the exciting things. And we walk out and we walk right into Scott Hahn, the infamous Scott Hahn, right? Yeah, and Dr. so then Scott the guy Hahn. That we're with, he's like, oh, stop. Scott, you got to hear what these guys have got going on. This is remarkable. Another school's kind of going to make the turn and, you know, is moving forward again. And so here I am sharing with Scott Hahn. Tell me more, he says. And by the end of it, you know, you have Scott Hahn in a frenzy, right? Yeah, and yeah. He's kind of all excited. And what can I do? And tell me how I can help and anything I can do. And these are authentic experiences. These aren't like people just trying to pat you on the back.
Right.
So there is a real vision. One of the professors who came from Ave Maria in Florida and is now at CUA in D.C., after sharing with her Mount Marty's new vision, she said, you know, you don't just have a good vision here. You have a very good vision. And you will get people and you will get faculty to come from a long ways to experience mm-hmm. this if you're able to bring it to fruition. And Jerry, it will happen. Why? Because it's the Lord's work. Mm-hmm. He's the one assembling the people and bringing people together. And I'll be honest with you, there's a little bit in my back. As a teacher for 10 years at O'Gorman, I saw very few of my students head down the road to Mount Marty College. And it was one of those things where I just kind of kept quiet about it, but they'd all go out to Steubenville, or they'd go up to St. Thomas, or they'd go down to Benedictine and Atchison, Kansas, and now they're all going up to Bismarck, to University of Mary. Even my niece is going there. And I think, you know, how come they don't give Mount Marty a shot? And, you know, it just comes down to the reality of saying, you know, the kids are looking for something, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. finding it at other places. And we have an opportunity now for Mount Marty to be that place. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we've been blessed in this diocese with two Catholic colleges, Mount Marty, of course, in Yankton, and Presentation College in Aberdeen, and grateful for all that they have mm-hmm. done through the years. My wife is a graduate of Mount Marty a few years ago. you know, they have done a tremendous job through mm-hmm. the years of educating our young. But I like what you said, that it, you know, there comes a moment when you kind of got to look and say, well, are we still doing okay? And if yeah. we're not, what can we do to, you know, to make it better?
Yeah, Jerry, I didn't know this until I started until I took the job. And then I started looking into the future of small Catholic liberal arts schools in the United States. And I'm like, oh, they're folding up and closing doors all over the place, right? This is, they're either not reinventing themselves, but renewing themselves. Right. They're either renewing themselves.
That's the right way to say it. Yeah.
Or they're closing shop. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting. I get tremendously energized from that, partly because it's like, I can't fail. Like, what, you know, it's like, it's not like you're coming into a mountaintop experience and it's like, oh my, how am I going to replace Scott Hahn?
No,
you're not. I get to come in and we get to build something, and I like building. I'm kind of a person that's my experience and what I like to bring to the table. So when you look at what's going on down there and the mix and networking and communicating and building bridges, and I can't wait to love on the sisters and just have a great, you know, Sister Catherine, my boss for 10 years is down there, right?
That's right.
I'm going
to have
pie on Wednesday nights with the sisters. And the new prioress is Sister Mary Beth, who was my old Christian prayer teacher at O'Gorman. So there'll be a great opportunity for us to network. But Jerry, the biggest thing is Mount Marty now is going to take this opportunity to build a bigger footprint, to get outside of just the Mount, to get outside of just Yankton, even to get outside of Sioux Falls, to be a regional player as a Catholic collegiate experience and to form virtuous young professionals for the 21st century.
Just about a minute left. Joe, if you could say a word about how this will or won't impact your work with the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity.
It actually will maybe, I would say, even enhance it because of a Catholic institution like this brings an opportunity for a robust platform for formative experiences, nursing, healthcare, business. And so the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity and the efforts that I've been doing, I will retain and continue to do and work for as executive director. And we just look for a great partnership with Mount Marty.
Well, we'll have to have you back after a few months and see if you've gotten your feet wet and your rest of you dried off.
See if I still got a smile on my face and my eyes haven't been poked out.
You're diving in deep here. I can tell. It's exciting.
It is going to be wonderful. And, you know, all those out there listening, continue to pray for us. Pray for all the college kids and all these institutions. The faith is not promised for tomorrow. It has to be passed on. It has to be formed in our young people for the next generation. And that's what we look forward to from Mount Marty College.
All right. Joe Rutten, thanks for being with us this morning. Good luck as you move into the new role.
Amen, brother. Thanks.
Well, Gene, of course, we have to acknowledge that this coming Tuesday is Independence Day.
241st birthday of the United States.
Yeah. It's hard to believe. I've been alive for more of those years than I kind of would like to think.
But, it's an amazing milestone.
But it's very good. I hope people do take time to celebrate what it means to have our independence. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.